What's going on, everyone? We are rapidly approaching the 2025 college baseball season, and in order to celebrate that fact, I wanted to close out the off-season podcast series with one of my favorite players in Division I baseball, and I think he should be one of your favorite players, too, and that is Texas A&M's 12th man, Hayden Schott. Now, I do apologize, the first couple of minutes of this episode, probably the first 6 minutes and 30 seconds, I was connected to the wrong microphone, and Hayden, being the polite young man he is, didn't say anything. He was just like, all right, this is how Steve rolls now, which you got to tip your cap for him bearing with that and just dealing with that awful sound quality. And if you're like, hey, Steve, I don't want to listen to the awful sound quality, that's fine. Just skip to about 6 minutes, 30 seconds in, and you will bypass a lot of that. But I will say, Hayden's microphone sounded fantastic. This kid's a pro. He's only been, you know, talking a lot for a year or so, but the kid absolutely gets it. In this episode, we talk about a wide range of things, from what it was like being in Omaha to having a coaching change a day after being in Omaha to just being a Texas A&M Aggie and what it means to be the 12th man. Of course, the big, big number change that he's going through, added 7 digits to his number. He's going from 5 to 12, which we love to see. And honestly, it's just incredible to me because, you know, they give out the 12th man to who best exemplifies what it means to be an Aggie. And for this kid to just come in 1 year and make that big of an impact that they're like, hey, look, you're the dude. You are the guy. That's so cool. But this week's episode is a very fun one. Of course, we laugh a lot. We have a lot of good moments. And Hayden's just, he's a dude who, even when I'm 40 and he's also probably close to 40, I'll want to talk to. I'll want to pick up the phone and just call whenever I need a good laugh because this dude's absolutely incredible. And not even to mention the fact that he hit 335 in the SEC last year. This kid's an absolute stud. He's going to be back and healthy for the 2025 season, and I could not be more excited to watch this kid absolutely ball out. Now, before we get into it, we're going to have a quick ad from our one and only sponsor here at the Backyard Bullpen, which is the Big Donkey brand. If you're a fan of college baseball and you want everyone out there to know far and wide that you love college baseball and you want to help grow the sport, please buy a hat or a shirt or a sweatshirt from the Big Donkey brand. We'll have tons of new products rolling out throughout the season. We just dropped our new 25 College Baseball is Rad hats, which I personally think are a very cool design. They're very retro inspired, and they're personally my favorite hats I've ever come out with. So check it out, and let's hear from Hayden. What is going on, everyone? We are back with yet another exciting edition of the Backyard Bullpen. And this week, we couldn't be more excited because we have the great, the wonderful, the mastermind, the smartest man I know, Hayden Schott, joining us. Hayden, how are you?
Good. Also, the smartest man I know is me. So, yeah, 100%, Stephen. Also, yeah, I didn't give you enough credit when we started talking before this about the name, the Backyard. I that's great.
Thank you, man. I would have sucked at baseball if I didn't have a – I've never even talked about the name, but – I built a little mound in my backyard, and I had a pitch back, and I would go to that thing religiously in sixth grade, probably why my arm wasn't super healthy, because I wouldn't stretch or anything. I'd be like, all right, there was a pitch I'd try to throw called the slider, which was a knuckle curve and slider all in one. I don't really think it caught on. If it did, I'd probably, you know, be in the show right now if that pitch didn't break and have the movement I thought it would. But either way, my arm probably got stronger back then. So, yeah, that's why I was like, you know, Backyard Bullpen, that's where I kind of fell in love with it. Let's roll with it.
I like that. Yeah, it's got a good ring to it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that a ton. It was too many characters for a lot of usernames on social
media. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. We went down to Backyard Bull Pod, which, I mean, you know, just saving time in this day and age, it's so important. We only have so many moments, so I don't want anyone wasting their time going Backyard Bullpen Pod, Backyard Bull Pod, wait.
And, yeah, well, and it also goes into the attention span conversation we were having before we started recording as well. There's only so many letters we can read and still, like, be able to follow through the end of the word before our brains start to turn off. So I think you did a really good thing here.
Yeah, I'm glad you see the psychology of it too. You, a thinker like yourself, I knew would pick up
on it. Yeah, just a critical thinker. Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of,
A lot has happened since the last time we've talked. There's been a lot of movement. You went to Omaha. What was the Hayden Schott Omaha experience like?
Oh, man. It was, I would say, a mix of trying to win a championship and then also be a fan, because it's so, as you know, it's so damn fun to be there and just like enjoy being at the park and watching the games and being a part of the whole kind of crowd and everything that's going on in that city for that week. It's almost in some ways more fun than some of the baseball you do, just because of how much everyone loves it there. So I was trying to blend those two really well. And I think we did it. Our team especially did such a good job of, when we were at the field, we had one goal of winning a national championship. And when we weren't, we were trying to enjoy being around each other and doing stuff with each other. And it was unbelievable. It was magical. I mean, that's like half the reason I want to go back, is just to experience that with a new set of guys this year and just to do it. I mean, it was so damn fun. So hopefully we do it again.
Yeah. And that's something I feel like not a lot of people realize. Like, when you play college baseball, you don't really get to go out and watch college baseball games. One, because they're happening while you're kind of doing your thing. But Omaha, great place to do it. Now, did you have a favorite thing about Omaha?
Oh, we had a great sauna at our hotel. There's a few players in there that I would meet every day, and we just go down there, try not to look directly into their bodies, or else you'd get some weird stares. But we would just go into the sauna together and just kind of chop it up. But I think the stores were really cool my first day. That, you know, I don't even know what that's called. Mm-hmm. That little village.
The baseball village.
Yeah, the baseball village. That was really cool. But then luckily, our whole team loved to just go and watch baseball. So we would go to almost every game we could at night if we were playing in the day, or vice versa. So I think that was probably my favorite part, was honestly going and sitting in right or left field with Jace, Burton, Appel, all these guys, and just watching baseball. It was so freaking fun. So I think that was honestly my favorite part.
Yeah, and I think it's cool for the players, but it's also so cool for the fans, where it's like, hey, I just watched Texas A&M absolutely ball out last night. Oh, there they all are, just walking around in the group. It's like, it's pretty easy to tell who the players are, because baseball players are all, they're just a grouping of 6 feet to 6 foot five guys walking around like a wall, you know? And so
100%.
Fans can easily identify it. Now, was there anything that surprised you about Omaha? Anything that stood out that way?
Man, I don't honestly know. I don't think. Only because my expectations were so high. And it sounds almost like underwhelming to say that they got matched, but they kind of did. I mean, it truly is like the Disneyland of college baseball, it feels like, just because there's something going on at all times. I will say the one really surprising thing that I didn't know happened before going there is the hotel send-offs they do for teams before their games. That was almost cooler than the crowds at the game. Like, when we would come down, our hotel after like our scouting report, and our entire lobby is like singing the Aggie War Hymn, and it was just packed to the brim. I got like my mom getting her hair torn off in the back corner, and I'm just like trying to give her a kiss on the cheek. Like, it was just absolutely nut, but it was so damn cool. Like, I had no idea that even took place. So I think that was probably the most surprising thing, but also one of my favorite things as well.
Yeah, it's a true blessing that they keep a little pathway clear for you guys to get out. Because otherwise, like, walking through that lobby could take about 30 minutes. Trust me, I've done it. I've done it after enjoying the bar there, so I know it can get even a little bit more hectic. So you're looking, trying to find where your feet are, and there's a million people. It's like, okay, I hope I make it to the other side. We'll see.
Were you there at any of our send-offs?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was there for, I want to say, a good amount of them, but there's just like so many people, because that's one of my favorite things too, is just to like see that, because again, not many people realize it happens. I remember 2 years ago, it was the LSU, and like Paul Skeens had the police around him to make sure like nothing happened to him. It was insanity, because like, it's just so many people in such a small area.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't imagine that, but I know. And well, when we were at, had that bar right by the send-off. Mm-hmm. So you mix fans with booze and excitement. That's like as loud and as crazy as any crowd can get which is awesome for the players because you just get to witness it. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a winning recipe for sure. For sure.
I would agree.
Now,
no doubt.
Obviously, moving along, you had played pretty injured last season, and of course, you still thrived, which was insane to see. But this fall, you probably spent a good amount of time recovering. So what was that like, recovering this fall?
Yeah, a lot of time recovering. A lot of NCAA football. Played, I think I hit 86 hours in the first, like, 4 days. It was kind of outrageous. But it's hard when you do something like that and you play so much baseball for your entire life and it's, like, the first time of your life where you can't really. So I just kind of sat around, took it slow, made sure I didn't do anything too much. But I also had a lot of really fun people around me who made life entertaining and made it not too boring. So being at the field was tough, watching everyone compete, but it was also my job was to be a good teammate at the time. So I filled that role and tried to buy into that. And then once we were out of the field, it was kind of very normal. So it was long, it was mundane, but it was very necessary. So I'm
now,
good now.
You touched on a really important piece, which was you got to watch a lot of baseball. Did you have
Yeah.
a favorite guy this fall to watch?
Oh, man. Probably probably Hensler, our new transfer, who you know very well, our my old rival, my Penn Quaker rival. I would say as much as I don't want to admit it, he was very fun to watch, and he was super entertaining. Him, Cash. I mean, I really am gonna feel bad leaving people out here, but I mean, I'd say all of the new transfers were really impressive, and then we have some freshmen who I don't think people understand how good our freshman class is. That was really good. We have this new kid Sawyer Farr, who's a stud. Miles Patton, new pitcher. Like, there's just a lot of guys who seemingly fit into this seeminglessly fit into this program really well. So I got to watch a lot, and I was kind of like a player coach. I'm also like the right age for a player coach right now, so it just blended perfectly. Like, me and our grad assistant are literally the same age, so it was perfect. We just kind of tic-tac-toed our roles together, and it was awesome. So yeah, got to watch a lot of baseball. It's very fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Wyatt, because I was wondering, have you guys squashed that Ivy League beef? Because everyone knows the Ivy Leagues are at each other's throats. It's real cutthroat. So you guys have gotten past that differences.
We
bless you.
I'm allergic to talking about. I'm allergic to saying anything good about the Penn Quakers. Yes, we have. Me and Appel last year, when we were roommates, originally squashed it. We made an agreement early on to not say a thing about championships, each other's schools, and it worked out really well. We didn't say anything, and then this year, me and Wyatt made the same agreement, and he has not stood well by this agreement. He has continually broke it, and broke the pact. So I'm trying to give him as many chances as I can, but with a young, arrogant person, the way that Wyatt is, as many Ivy Leaguers are, it's really tough, and I'm trying to figure it out. But we'll find a way. I'm sure by season, hopefully, we'll be able to squash everything, but we'll see.
Look, he broke the pattern, but he also broke a lot of Ivy League records. So you got it. It got him with the territory a little bit, you know, from time to
I
time
know.
Seep through.
I know. You're right. I'll have faith. He has a little more leeway considering he broke some records, but at some point that leeway is over. It's just going to start to piss me off. So we'll see.
That's fair. That's fair. So it's good to know how long the leash is for him, how much time he's got. Now, obviously in the fall, there's of course fall ball and all of that, which is good and nice. That's the fun part. And then the part that really stinks is conditioning, which I'm sure weighed heavily on you to miss. You're a super athletic, super fast guy. But
yes,
at any point, were you watching the team condition? You're like, you know what? I don't miss this part. Like, I'm okay for right now.
A few times. I think, like you said, that's usually where I get really into it. And that's like where my discipline comes in. And that's the stuff that I like to be a part of. So for the most part, no, I was just mad and felt a little bit of FOMO. But I would say there was a few times where I think I was like, hey, you know, I've done enough of this throughout my my career. This is okay. I'm allowed to be missing this one. But like anyone who misses that in the fall, I'll make sure I get my due diligence in the spring here. So I'll make sure I'm catching up on it, doing my running and really making sure that I'm in tip-top shape for the season.
Yeah, the one fall, because back when COVID happened, they had the weird rules where I was allowed to come back even though I was out of eligibility, but I wasn't
Oh,
allowed
yeah.
to participate in the fall. So I had to go work a regular job. So I was working at State
Ugh.
Farm, not conditioning whatsoever. And January 3rd came around, and that was the date of our conditioning test. And it was, if I failed, I just did it again and again, essentially every other day till I passed. I kept telling Coach Oak that. Our head coach at UVA, I was like,
Yeah,
I'm gonna
oak
be
butter, yeah.
running these. Like, bring the cones to Omaha because I will be running them then. I don't think
Yeah.
anything. Fortunately, our strength coach, I think, counted pretty slow one day, and he was like, "Oh, you made it," and I was like, "No, I didn't. I'm throwing up." But okay, good.
Thanks. Yeah. That's good feel. That's elite feel out of your strength coach, actually.
yeah,
You don't see that nowadays.
it was definitely a blessing. Now we're talking about coaches. We're talking about feel. Obviously, one thing that happened, big coaching change. And when this coaching change happened, you were early on the case, very vocal about Coach Early being the man for the job. What was it about him where you were like, this is who we want, this is who we need?
Yeah, I could probably talk the rest of the however long we're going to talk for about Coach Early, but I think it just comes down to a care for the players that I think everyone wants in a head coach. But you mix that with the ability to teach and to communicate in the way that he has the ability to at his seemingly young age for a head coach. It's the most perfect fit for a head coach that I've seen. In a young coach, and I think I always hesitate to say young when I'm talking about him because the way he communicates and the way he leads seems like a guy who's been doing it for 20 plus years. So I think all those combined make it a really easy choice. And there's a reason that I was vocal about it. And there's a reason that I thought he was the man for the job. And luckily it worked out. And it's gone, I think, just as good as everyone could have dreamed of. So it's pretty awesome so far, but. As he would say, which is another reason why he's such a good head coach, it doesn't really matter until February 14th when we start playing and focus on winning game one. So we got to start winning ball games, and that's obviously the result oriented goal. But so far, it's been incredible.
Yeah, now there's been a lot of speculation. If he were to have said no to the job, would you have accepted it? Because it was probably heading straight your way.
That was. Part of that was a lot of the talks with our new AD Trev Alberts. He knew that I was in that pool, but at some point in life you gotta take a step back and let other people go forward. A lot of the great world leaders have done that, and I think that was my time where to go back so that someone else can go forward. You know, I gotta walk so they could run, sort of thing. And I thought I did that, and my time will come. I have no doubt about it.
Your time for being sixth year player coach, it's definitely coming. Now we're talking about coaching responsibilities, and one of those responsibilities is managing expectations. And so obviously this year, your friend Jace, there's a lot of expectations about him. I see a lot of draft boards saying this will be the first college guy taken. What steps are you taking to ensure that he stays, head can still fit in the doorway, he's staying humble?
Well, plenty of steps. It's gotten to the point where now I just kind of keep certain keys in my phone notes. If he starts to piss me off or really, I can see his ego and his head starting to balloon, which will obviously happen. There's certain keys that I'll just kind of remind him to bring him back down to earth. And I think that's important with a guy like that, such as you have him supposedly being the number one draft pick all year and then all of a sudden, he's down to number two. So it's like now he's projected number two. So at some point, you got to realize that he's heading south. He's not going in the right direction. So you remind him stuff like that. And then instead of being arrogant, he may actually get a little mad and want to actually be better. And that's the goal.
Yeah, so it's kind of that reverse psychology of like, hey, but
there's some speculation. Are you the one shooting him down the draft board for him?
Right.
You know, and that's what a really good
100%.
friend would do. I had such good friends that they were like, hey, look, we're gonna make sure scouts don't even know who you are.
Know who you are. Yeah,
And
100%.
you know, I was playing free, I was playing easy baseball.
Yeah, 100%. And they're still thinking that that's going to work out in the future for you, that the scouts will give you a call because you played so free. That's the goal.
Yeah, my time, I'm still waiting for the phone to ring, but I think it should be coming pretty soon.
I would agree. I'd say in the next couple of years, it has to.
Everybody knows it's the guys who haven't thrown a baseball in 2 years that you really got to worry about sticking up for the, especially when you're 28. That's when no one sees it coming. I'm not on scouting reports. That's
No.
good. That's good, right?
Yeah, that's the prime, I believe, for some people. That's
Now,
like the prime for like golf and country clubs and stuff. I don't know about professional baseball, but we'll maybe one day.
yeah, it's
Never
the
know.
big young kid nobody knows about. Also an old guy. He's no longer, he's so young that he's old. Now, I saw another thing in the news about Texas A&M. They just announced that A&M baseball is getting a new $28 million player development center, Blue Bell Park. So I got two questions on this one. Did you donate the $28 million? Did that come from you? And then on top of that, if you're in charge, what is one thing that you want to make sure is in the player development center?
Two questions that I've assumed you would ask me. Number one is I can't answer your first question. As I'm sure you can understand, that stuff is obviously under the table, and it's on a secret black book that I unfortunately can't share with the public. Number two is I think a really cool player development addition would be number one, a fungal golf course, which I think we could do. It could be a mix of an indoor outdoor, kind of like all the new football stadiums where you can have a dome if it's snowing or raining for it. So I don't know. I'm thinking kind of like pop stroke type vibe, but for fungal golf. So we'll see. I think something like that would be really entertaining. And then I'm hoping that what we can do is have a team supply of MetaQuest 3s, those virtual reality headsets. Me and the guys on the team have been really, really into those recently. Me and Hensler got about 22 of us to buy it now. So we were looking for a deal with Meta, but that would be a really, really fun thing to have in the new PDC.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be phenomenal for like team building and stuff. It's like, hey, look, we got each other's back in the real world. That's obvious. But in this virtual world where there might be dragons, there might be dinosaurs, who knows what's out there? We'll be there together. That's what we know.
Yeah, and usually we'll just kind of head into the VR at night and just kind of hang out with each other. Maybe go to a nice like billiard bar and just kind of throw some darts, shoot some eight ball pool. Just kind of whatever the world calls for that night, we'll all do together. Maybe go sit courtside and watch the Memphis Grizzlies play. You never know. It's just kind of whatever that is on that night, we'll just go do it together.
And I love that for you guys. I
Yeah.
love that team building aspect. This is the future of team building, is what it sounds.
100%. That's what we're thinking. That's the goal.
And it takes these Ivy League guys coming in saying, hey, how do we reinvent this? How do we make this stronger? I love that for you guys.
Innovation that excites. That's exactly
I
right.
don't think anyone's ever used that line before.
I was going to say, I don't know if that is,
You
I don't
should.
think that's anyone's trademark.
You guys should coin that phrase. That should be yours.
Suck it, IBM. You're done. Done for.
Now, another thing that happened was you were recently named the 12th man. How did that come about, and what's it like to have something like that bestowed upon your shoulders?
Well, it's overwhelming, I would say, especially a place like this. You don't really know understand the meaning of that number until you come to a place like this, and the history behind it and how much that number means to everyone. It's really overwhelming in the best possible way. The response from the fans has been so cool to see, and how they've kind of accepted me into that role, and they've accepted me as, hey, this guy is a guy that we would like representing the university. And so that alone is really hard to accept due to my self-defense mechanism, which is just being really self-deprecating because I don't like to talk very highly of myself. But I'm really trying to understand it and be really proud of it, accept it. So I'm just really grateful would be the right way to say it.
No, it's awesome. I gotta wonder, will you miss wearing number five at all? Because obviously big honor, but you gotta change the number too.
Yeah, I've thought about that. It's just bad branding. It's just tough branding. You can't change your number every year of college baseball and expect people to remember that. So it's tough branding. I'm hoping that I would have liked to just make five the new kind of fifth man, make that kind of into the new thing. But unfortunately, that didn't get passed by the Board of Regents. But maybe one day we'll see.
The fifth man could be down the pipeline, maybe like down the line when, you know, five shot is retired in
retire
Texas
there.
History.
Yeah,
it can come out for like, you know, most social fun guy to be around, you know.
Yeah, the fifth man. Yeah, I like the ring to that.
The fifth man, I'm here for it. Now,
yeah, no doubt.
Last question before I let you go. I recently saw you partnered with C4
Energy. Oh,
yeah. You released a great Instagram post about this. What's the fastest thing you've ever done?
In general?
Yeah, just you were like, wow, I was really fast when I did that.
Probably bought a PlayStation 5. My PS4 like burnt out not too long ago, and within probably an hour of debating if it was a smart purchase and checking my bank account to see if I had enough money, which I didn't. I got in my car and went to Best Buy and had a PS5 within an hour of my PS4 not working. I'd say that is swifter than just about anyone who's had a similar situation happen. Usually there's like a contemplation period, a financial accounting period, but nope. I just figured I'd go into debt and go get my PS5 and worry about it later. And it is the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, because I mean, people think, oh, game system, waste of money. Not the case. You could stream, you could do so much. That's a
100%.
money earner,
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. It's just passive income, baby. If I get on there, it's once I reach my $500 mark of however much I paid for it, whatever I'm doing on there is just free house money.
Yeah, that's just profits. The money,
Yeah.
the bank account's only going up from there.
Yep. Net gain.
Well, Hayden, we will let you get back to your busy day in the life of Hayden Schott because I know you are getting pulled in lots of different directions. But thank you so much for taking the time to be here and join us.
Yep, it was good to be back, man. Good talking to you as always.